Father, I thank you, Lord, as we all gather together again today. We thank you because the voice of the Lord is with us, and we will hear your voice, and we will follow you, because we know your voice. And we will not hear nor follow the voice of strangers, because we don't know that voice. And we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word gives light, and it also gives understanding, even to the simple. We receive that light and that understanding, the wisdom, the instruction, and the understanding today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, buy the truth and sell it not, you know, no matter the price. Part two. Yesterday, we gave the scripture in Proverbs 23:23, which is the text from which this subject title is taken. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You know, so a quick recap of the concepts that we talked about yesterday. The concept of buying and selling, and also what is the thing that is really the matter here? What is it that should be bought, and what is it that should not be sold? Well, the truth. We talked about the truth yesterday. Jesus himself saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. Jesus saying in John 17 and 17 that the word of God is truth. And so we've seen that. I want to also mention that when Jesus, you know, was before Pilate in John chapter 18, I want to read a couple of verses there. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus was before Pilate, you know, just before he would be sent to the cross. And Pilate was chiding him about being the king of the Jews and all of that. And Jesus made this, statement. Now let's read it in John chapter, if you have the Bible, or if you're just listening in, that's fine. You know, says Jesus said to him from verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Pilate therefore said, art thou a king then? Because you're talking of kingdom. Are thou a king then? Now, remember, it was treason for anyone in the Roman kingdom to call themselves a king other than Caesar. You know, so that was treason, you know. And that could be, that alone itself, punishable by death. You know, Jesus knew what he was doing. So Pilate, when he said that, are thou a king then? Jesus said, well, thou sayest with your own mouth, you are the one that's saying it, that I am a king. But Jesus is going to testify now to the truth. He said, to this end was I born. That's right. And for this cause came I into the world. Now, I want us to notice that, you know, what is it? What is Jesus talking about? That the reason he came to the world? Well, talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is kingdom. He said, this is the reason why I was born. And to this end came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. The truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Yesterday we talked about, you know, the truth. And there's different kinds of truth, but there is the truth. And Jesus is talking about that here, giving witness to the truth. So this man said, what is the truth? Jesus just left him alone. He just didn't say anything else after that. He already gave testimony and he's done. He's not going to, cast all his pearls before swine or put his jewels out in front of dogs. He already said he's just going to leave it like that. But he did witness to the truth. So the word of God is the truth. In this Bible, the answer to any question that you have is there. If there is no answer to your question in this Bible, then it's not a question that you need an answer to. It's just that simple. If the Bible has nothing to say about it, then leave it alone. You don't need to know. that's the way I've lived my life. That's my guiding principle. If I cannot find instruction in the Bible concerning this thing, then it's not a thing that I need to know about. That's that simple. Now, if I needed to know about it, somewhere in this Bible, there will be instruction regarding it. And then if we live by that principle, we will know that you can always go back to the Bible, just like Isaiah 8:20 says. Now, that's a foundational principle that we should all live by. To the law and the testimony. That's what they used to call, the scriptures in the day. It wasn't called Bible. So they called it the law and the testimony. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So when you hear a delivery of a message or lesson or teaching, or check it out with the word of God. Why do I often call this room? That some people say, "Hey, I'm coming to class." The first time I heard it, one sister said, "Oh, I won't be in class today." And I'm like, "Class? What are you talking about?" And I remember that I was always saying lesson when I teach here. Well, that's because the Bible used to say that Jesus was in a certain place and as he was teaching, So I adopted the style, So it wasn't always, preaching in this room. I was teaching and I had to be teaching the word. So I called it lesson, but in these lessons, you got to check it out as you listen to these lessons, whether they align with the word of God. If you don't, if you hear anything, I don't care whether it's on this platform or anywhere, you check it out. If it does not align with the word of God, then you get away from it. That's what the scripture says, So the good thing about these people that were in Berea, the Bible called them Bereans, or they, they refer to that, not like that. In Acts chapter 17, there was a quality that they had, in comparing them with the people in Thessalonica. Bible says that the people in Berea were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. Let's read this. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Well, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So there were two qualities here. What? They gladly received the word. They had an open heart. So they rejoiced when they heard the word of God, but they also searched the scriptures. They did their homework to see whether those things were so. That was their culture. And they, they're being congratulated here for being noble, better than the people at Thessalonica. So when we hear the word of God, we must search the scriptures. Or when we hear any preaching or any teaching, that is delivered in the name of the Lord, then you got to search the scriptures, and that's the source of truth, is the scriptures. In real life, and in, you know, the things that we do, you know, in our, you know, jobs and careers and different things. Like in my job, we talk about, you know, a system of record. In other words, you know, this is the place, the source, and other may derive, data may flow from that place to other sources, but this one here is a system of record. If you want to check it out, you go back to that source, and this is the way in technology, you know, always go back to the source. You may have one application that's running here, generating data that's feeding what we call some other downstream applications or upstream, whatever. It doesn't matter where they're sending the data to, you know, the channels that are between them. But this one is identified as a system of record. And so, you know, when there is anything that needs to be checked out, anything that needs to be verified, you always go to the system of record. You know, that's where the record is kept. Praise the Lord. And all you have to do is guard the system of record. You don't really need to back up all the other ones as long as you back up the system of record. Because they get their data every day from the system of record. So as long as the system of record is protected, you know, all the other satellites, the applications that are feeding from that, they're fine. Now, what is the system of record in this case? Well, it is this word of God. That's why Jesus said we must be guardians of this word. Isn't that what he said in John chapter 17? John chapter 14, verse 21. That's what he said. He said, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them. It's like, that's kind of like being a guardian of this thing. You know, you have my commandments and you keep them. Well, then Jesus said, those are the ones that love me. In fact, he said in verse 15 of John 14, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's a deeper meaning than just to do it. You know, you must do it, but also keep it. You know, like you're guardians of the thing. You know, you must protect that system of record. You know, what is the price you're willing to do, to pay? That's what we're talking about in this lesson. To protect, you know, that system of record. You know, to keep it, to protect it, to contend for it. You know, one scripture says we must earnestly, you know, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Well, this faith was delivered based on the scriptures. And based on the word of God, in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, you know, there's a call for us to earnestly and persistently defend, you know, guardians of the word of God, guardians of the faith. Here's how Jude puts it, Jude chapter 1, well, or you can just say Jude verse 3, since there's only one chapter. But Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Well, contending for the faith, you know, I call it keepers and guardians of the word of God. You protect that word. You keep that word. You pass it from generation to generation. You know, you do not let that word get away from you. In fact, you know, we are commanded to keep that word, you know. Lay this word up in your heart and your soul. Bind them for a sign upon your hand. Listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And verse 18, Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, how you wear your wristwatch or wristband or whatever. It's right there. They may be like frontlets between your eyes, kind of like you wear glasses. They're always there. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit down in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Write them upon the doorposts of your hearts and upon your gates. This is how you deal with the word of God. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land where the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them. And the days of heaven, your days will be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, for if ye shall diligently keep, you know, not just do, but keep, preserve, you know, all these commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. And you shall possess greater nations, and those who are even mightier than yourselves, and so on. You know, but you got to keep. Well, that which was delivered unto us, we must keep, you know. It has been delivered unto you. And we are also delivering unto you daily the word of God again. You know, that's the truth. So I'm bringing, you know, us full circle to what the truth is. And here is what Luke had to say about the truth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, for as much as many had taken in hand to set in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. You know, so these are things which are believed among us. This is not new. We know these things, and these are the things we've believed. Well, he said, even as they delivered them unto us, you know. So Luke is saying some people delivered it. So I'm saying Luke and company, they delivered it to us as well. You know, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, ministers of the word. Well, he said, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to also deliver them to you, that you may know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Remember, by the truth and certainly not also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23:23. So the things wherein we have been instructed, the things wherein we have learned in the scriptures, these constitute the truth. Well, it must be the truth though. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. If we add to it, well, just like we read yesterday about leaven, if we add to it, well, that becomes a problem then. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, so we must not add anything to it. Praise the Lord. Every word of God is pure, he said. You know, the word of God is pure. And don't you add to it. You know, so I'm going to read to you in Proverbs chapter 30. From verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and you'll be found a liar. So anything that is trying to add to the word of God or take away from it becomes a lie. You know, and a lie can be subtle. It's not always point blank labeled as a lie or poison. It's subtle. It's like leaven that's mixed up with three measures of meal. It's like, you know, the serpent said to Eve, has God said? And while she considered the thing, she said, well, I mean, that's not what God meant. God already knew that this and this and this. You know, so, okay, discredit the word of God, put a little twist into it, and all of a sudden it becomes a lie. Now, when we take a lie, it becomes spiritual death. Take a lie over God's word, well, The Lord said, the day you do it, you're going to die. And here we are today. Till this day, we're still dealing with the effects of that. You know, so that's what the truth is. You know, yesterday we also talked about Peter, you know, describing the truth as the present truth. The present truth. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, the present truth means that, you know, God is revealing things to us incrementally. In 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, verse 12, he says, I will not be negligent, just like Luke said. I will not be negligent to tell you these things. Well, Paul himself said the same thing. I will not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Well, Peter says here, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you already knew them and you are established in the present truth, yet we must continue to remind one another as we see the day approaching. So the present truth is what we know. You know, that's what Jesus said in John 8 and 32. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you free. So what we know is the present truth. If you don't know, you know, it's like I often say about a promise. I said, you know, a promise is not a promise for you if you don't know that it was promised. In other words, if somebody promised something but you didn't know about it, then it's not a promise as far as you are concerned, because you don't even know that it was promised. So the same thing with the truth. If we don't know it, well, it's not going to do anything for us. So the present truth is what we know. Now, here is the depth of the truth. In the book, that the earth shall be filled with the truth we have now. The truth and the knowledge of the glory of God that you have now is in comparison as your bucket that you took to the ocean to take a feel out of the ocean versus the extent of it. The ocean is there. You can bring your bucket, fill your bucket, but there's plenty more where that came from. You can, instead of a bucket, you can bring something bigger, like a barrel. You take your fill, the ocean is still there. You can, instead of a barrel, you can bring a tanker that can contain, say, 50,000 gallons of water or whatever. You can take it. The ocean is still there. You know, so the extent of the truth is in comparison as the waters cover the sea, as the ocean. The present truth is what we know. And it's a, you know, we want to know more from the Lord. Paul said that I may know him. Moses said, show me, Lord, thy way that I may know you. I mean, these are people that have been walking with God in tremendous power and yet wanting to know him. Well, that's called the present truth. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 17, you know, after many years, remember the Lord called Abraham in Genesis 12, and he had been walking with God, been doing all these things. And then finally, you know, in Genesis 17, the Lord says to him, you know, I am Almighty God. Verse 1 of Genesis 17, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. So with all the journey and all the walking with God, God was still demanding something else. You know, that's the present truth. That's what it means. Where you are is the present truth, but there's more. See, there's always more. You know, because we cannot, you know, by searching, find out the Almighty unto perfection. Perfection means completeness. I mean, can you discover everything about God? No, you can't do it. You know, you can discover whatever God shows. Because Jesus said, you know, in Matthew 11:25, it is the Father's good pleasure pleased the father to hide certain things from the wise and the prudent, and to reveal them unto babes, for such it seemed good in his sight. Now, the ones from whom the father hid those things, well, they don't have everything. And even the ones to whom he revealed some things, they don't have everything. You know, so that's the present truth. You know, but there's plenty where that truth came from. Yesterday we talked about the price. How do you value certain things? What price do you put on it? Jesus himself, in one of his teachings, said, you know, where your treasure is, you know, that's where your heart will be. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. What does that mean? Well, it means you are going to, you know, I mean, you know, you're always going to be thinking about the thing that you treasure more. I gave the analogy yesterday of the old car and the new car. You know, the old car was bumped when the new car came, because the heart was on the new car. Old car can go outside and suffer the sun. The new car, a small treasure, it's going to be in the garage. You know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Now, if you put your treasure into the things of God, well, your heart will be there. We talked yesterday about valuation. What value do you place on things? You know, some people that enjoy fine art or collections and so forth, or pearls, you know, I mean, or they collect antiques or different things, you know, people like that. I mean, they just collect valuables. Jesus told the parable of, you know, said the kingdom of God is like unto a man that is a collector of, you know, goodly pearls. Was always collecting, was always looking for goodly pearls. And when he finds them, he buys them. So one day he found something of great price, and he didn't have enough money to buy, but he really wanted that thing. So what did he do? Well, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let me read that to you again. Matthew 13, you know, verses from verse 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that is hid in a field, the which a man, when he had found it, he hid it. See? It was already hid in the field, and he found it, and he hid it some more. Make sure nobody else gets it. Then he, for joy, he went and, you know, sold all he had and buys that field so he can own that treasure. What was the price he was willing to pay for that? Well, everything. He sold everything he had to get it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. This man was a collector, you know, and one day he found one of great price, you know. And what did he do? He went and sold all his previous collections in order to buy this one. What is the price that you put upon the truth? What price are you willing to pay to get the truth? Are you willing to sit with Jesus and learn, dig into the word of God, get up early, you know, break away from different things? You know, some people break away, you know, from their busy day to come into a room such as this. Some people get up early in the morning to come to a room such as this. Well, it's all a price. What price are you willing to pay? Have you found a goodly pearl, and are you willing to go for it? The pearl of gold price that he himself found. You know, we're told that one day, as he was about getting ready to go to the cross in Luke chapter 22, listen to this in verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Then he rose up in prayer. I mean, can you pray like that? Have you prayed until blood was coming out of your forehead like sweat? Jesus was sweating blood. And that's right. Because he had to go for that pearl of great price. He had to fight a battle in the spirit. Because the devil was sitting pretty with all of us, with all our souls. And Jesus told the parable. He said, look, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like when a strong man is sitting with his goods and got his palace, got everything where he wants it. And he thinks, yeah, I got it made. Until a stronger than he shall come upon him, bind him, you know, spoil him, spoil, take his armor in which he trusted, spoil his goods. You know, so a strong man comes in to spoil the spoiler. And Jesus was that strong man. The devil was the spoiler. And Jesus had to wrestle. He had to wrestle until blood was coming out of his head. But he was going for that price of, you know, that pearl of great price, which is you and me. That's why we're here today. He was sweating blood as a result of agonizing prayer. You talk of groaning in the spirit. You haven't seen groaning in the spirit until you see this prayer that Jesus did. You know, prayed. I don't know if anybody had prayed until blood was coming out of their head. You know, Jesus did. What was he praying about? Well, he had to get us out of darkness, get us into his glorious kingdom. And he had to do it. He had to fight that battle in the spirit. And he went for it too, and he got it. Glory to God. Now that's the price he was willing to pay. He was willing to give up his life. You know, even though he knew he was king and lord of lords and king of kings, he was willing to become nothing. Now, Paul captured that essence of that part of his story in Philippians chapter 2. He said, Christ, you know, he said, let this mind be in you. Philippians 2 and 5. You know, Christ, even though he was God, he knew it, but he gave up everything. He chose not to be called God. I mean, even hardly did he refer to himself as Son of God, just maybe once or twice. Most of the time, calling himself Son of Man. And he took of him on him no reputation at all. Gave up everything. Born in a manger and everything. Helpless as a baby and all. You know, running helter-skelter for his life. And Herod was going to kill all the children. Joseph had to do that. And he became and took upon him the form of a servant. Was obedient to everything. Even the death of the shameful death of the cross for, you know, curses everyone that hanged on the tree. And he did that. Gave up everything. What was the price that he was willing to pay? Everything. But what was the thing that he was trying to acquire? Well, a pearl of gold price. I mean, a pearl of great price. So the same thing, which is, you know, if you have found the treasure in Christ, what is the price that you're willing to pay to guard it? Some people guarded this world with their lives. You know, we have some martyrs for the kingdom. Let's talk about Stephen. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, he was one of the early, disciples that had to pay for their life. I mean, pay with their life for getting the gospel of Christ out. He paid for it with his life. They stoned him to death because of his preaching. And he knew they were going to stone him. But he was ready. And paid the ultimate price with his life. And they gnashed on him with their teeth and stoned him to death. You can read that story in Acts chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole story. There were some others that paid or were ready to pay with their lives. We read in Daniel chapter 3 the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ready at the penalty of death. They would not sell the truth. Now, we're talking now about not selling the truth. Not selling the truth means don't give in, don't give up, don't sell out, Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise the word of God. And these people wouldn't do it. They were Jews to the core. The Jew knows the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt not bow yourself to any other thing. A Jew knows that. And they wouldn't do it. So when Nebuchadnezzar said, well, you got to bow when you hear the music. But bow to the God of and the golden image that I've made. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. So the man was furious and said, I give you one last chance. If you do it, because he liked those boys. They were good. They were smart. They were knowledgeable in sciences and different things. And he said, well, you know, it's been reported that you didn't do this. Well, I'm sure it's not true. I'll give you one last chance. You know, and they said, no, it is true. We are not going to bow. Oh my goodness, was the king ever so furious? You know, he said, well, crank it up 7 times. And the boy said, well, you can crank it up all you want. We will not bow. Those are some guys that would not sell the truth. Not for any price. Not even the price of their lives. I mean, what is the most valuable thing you have? Your life. You know, the life is more than raiment, Jesus said. Life, you know, a man's life does not consist in the things he possesses. Your life is more than all the things you possess. Because when you die, whose shall those things be? And Jesus told the parable of the fool that was always amassing things. He said, my soul, take your rest, eat, drink. I will build bigger barns. I will take down my barns. I will do this. I will do that. And so on. And then that night, the Lord said to him, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of thee. Whose then shall be those things that you have amassed? So also is everyone that is rich in all these worldly things, but not rich towards God. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Shall gain the whole world and then lose his soul? I mean, so these are the things that are valuable. Did you know that one life to Jesus is more valuable than 2,000 pigs? There was a time Jesus was going to cast out a man and devils and say, well, who, you know, what is your name? Jesus was trying to bring out a point. He said, well, our name is Legion, for we are many. He said, come out of him. You know, he said, well, you know, don't send us away. You know, can you send us over here? There were some swine, a couple of thousand of them. They perished that day. Because Jesus saved a life. One life was more important to him than 2,000 pigs. say, well, go. And they went and headlong into, and everybody hated Jesus for that. Get away from our coast, they said. Because, you know, there were some people that were rearing those pigs. That was their, you know, source of income. But as far as Jesus was concerned, 1,000 of those pigs was not compared to one life. You know, this is the value that Jesus placed on life. Well, what value do we place on things? You know, and what are you willing to give up or not give up? Well, Daniel will not give up either. In Daniel chapter 6, when they had conspired against, they knew he was upright in everything. And they said, look, the only way we are going to get him, because they were envious of him. The only way we are going to get him is in the matter of his God. We already know. So let's come up with something that we know he's not going to do. And let's make that thing law. And that's how we're going to get him. So they already knew. They knew Daniel's stand. They knew he's not going to do it. So they came up with a law. You know, nobody will make any petition of any god of anything and so forth for 30 days. And whosoever does that will be cast in a den of lions. And they tricked the king into signing it. The king thought it was good. I made petition of, me? I'm the one that they were asking. So that's good. He wasn't thinking deep. Didn't know it was a trap. You know. And so they found Daniel praying. They reported into the king, Daniel, this and this. And so the king had no choice. And they go cast him there. But Daniel, knowing that the law was passed, well, he kept doing exactly, he didn't do it because of the law. He was doing exactly that before. And he did exactly what he was doing. He would open his windows, pray towards the east, like they used to do or whatever. Always trying to face where Jerusalem was in their days of captivity. Because they were always thinking, you know, we can't sing the song of the Lord in the land of captivity. Babylon and these places, we got to go home. So they're always praying towards that. So he did the same thing. They caught him red-handed. Now, he didn't deny it, and he knew if they caught him, he was going to pay with his life. And they cast him to a den of lions. These were people that would not sell out. They were ready to die. You know, I mean, we've seen even in this country, the Columbine shooting and many other places, and even in Nigeria, and even in recent times, there's places where people are ready to give up their life, you know, for the gospel or for Christ or just for to be identified with Christ, you know, and with gunman or machete man or whatever came in and they were asked to deny their faith, said no. And they knew they were going to die. But they said no. And they were killed. Some were beheaded. Some were shot down. Some were gunned down. Some were set on fire. You know, but they said, no, we're not going to do it. You know, and they would not sell out. They would not sell out. Some people paid tremendous price in other ways, not necessarily their life. And Jesus was talking about the Queen of Sheba. You know, we know her story. But Jesus himself talked about it. I mean, whenever Jesus talks about stories of things that have happened, it means it's great significance because he called out those stories. He called out the story of David when he went to the house of God and took the showbread and ate and gave to people around him. Called it out. He called out the story of, you know, this Queen of Sheba. Called it out. He said, did you know that this Queen of Sheba, you guys have read it, said, how she traveled from the uttermost parts of the earth to go and hear the wisdom of Solomon. Did you know it? Do you remember it? He said, yeah. He said, well, the Queen of Sheba, called the Queen of the South, will rise up in the judgment against the generation because she did something, you know, tremendous. And right here, there's a greater than Solomon right underneath your noses, but you wouldn't acknowledge the truth. But this woman, she traveled from the othermost part of the earth. What was the price she was willing to pay? She said to Solomon, he said, I have heard in my country about your wisdom and so forth, and I came to check it out. But when I got here, I found that not even half of it was told to me. Because now I've seen your ascent, and I've seen your glory, and I've seen your wisdom and your servants and this and that. Say, my goodness, you know. And she showered many things upon him. But she traveled across halfway around the world for that. Yeah. Jesus said, well, behold, right here, that's a greater than Solomon, but you guys won't see it. So therefore, that woman will condemn you because of what she did. She was willing to pay that ultimate price. Now, well, let's look at somebody that sold out though. And these were people who were willing to pay any price at any length to get anything that they wanted and would not give it up. But let's look at somebody who sold out. Sold out to the truth. There are a few lessons in the Bible. You know, one of the most significant ones of a sellout. And it was subtle at first. But it was a sellout nonetheless, is the story of Balaam the seer. In the book of Numbers 22 and 23, you know, some of you, hopefully most of you are familiar with that story. So I'm not going to read all of it. I'll just paraphrase it. You know, so there was Balak, you know, who was over the Amorites, Moab, and so forth. And then they were afraid of the children of Israel because they've seen what they had done to others. So he sent one day to Balaam, who was a seer at the time. He said, look, these people, you know, they come up against us and they are over around us and they are a terror to us. We're afraid of them. You know, and we've seen what they've done to others. So, but if you come and put a curse on them, put a spell on them, so that their hands can be weakened, then I'll be able to overpower them. And told Balaam that. Balaam said, well, I'm not going to do it. You know what? You know, I will bless you though. I will give you this and I'll give you a reward. I want you to come and curse these people. You know, and so on and so forth. And he said to the man, he said, look, I know that your word is like the word of an oracle of God. When you bless somebody, they are blessed. When you curse somebody, they are cursed. You know, so put a curse on these people for me. I'll give you a great reward. Well, Balaam considered the thing. He said, well, okay, stay here tonight. I'm going to ask the Lord. Why would you even ask the Lord about that? You know, so he asked the Lord. And the Lord said, well, who are these men? You know, he said, well, these people and so on and so forth. The Lord said, you are not going to do it. You're not going to do it. These people are blessed. You cannot curse them. So Balaam goes to Balak, the king, and tells him, I can't do it. Send message to the princes that Balak sent. I can't do it. I cannot bless these people. I mean, curse these people because they are blessed. You know, he said, so the Lord will not be with you. So go away. So, and the king sent, you know, the princes of Moab again to go and call this man. And the man refused to come. He said, no, I'm not coming. So the king Balak sent more princes, more honorable men than before, you know, like senators and different things, you know, and a great ambassador, so to speak, to go and talk to this man and offered him even more gifts. And finally, he said, look, you know, whatever you have, whatever you want, I will give you everything. Balaam said, look, even if this man will give me half his house, even his whole house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do less or more. Now, that was his first position. And at that point, he was good. He would not sell out at that point. But everybody has a price. I said this yesterday. What is your price? What's your breaking point? You know, Balaam's price was more reward, you know. I mean, at first he was doing really good, but then the man began to offer him more things and more things and more things. So Balaam went back. See, this is how he's starting to sell out. God already told him you can't do it. He already even himself knew he shouldn't do it. Moreover, the word of the Lord told him you can't do that. And he went back to God to go and ask him again, shall I go with these people? I mean, they keep on sending stuff and telling me this. And the Lord is like, I already told you. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, this is a sellout of massive proportions. Because number one, it was a seer. He could hear from God and everything. And he knew the right thing. But because of the word of unrighteousness, you know, he was willing to sell out. And so kept going back to the Lord when the Lord already told him, don't do it. And the Lord said, I already told you. But so finally the Lord said, okay, fine. You may go, but whatever I tell you is what you're going to do. But, you know, God was setting it off for destruction. See, don't try to get God to change his word. If you do, he might just send an angel to kill you. Because he's not going to change his word. Not for you, not for anybody else. But because this man wouldn't listen, you know, just like Jesus told the story of the woman who was always going to the judge in Luke chapter 18 and pestering him every day until finally the judge had to, you know, give her judgment in her favor. Well, this man Balaam was pestering the Lord also until God had said, okay, fine. You know, but that fine was going to cost Balaam his life. Because the angel of the Lord went forth to go and kill him. You know, that's a very strange story. You would say, well, why did God already told you don't do it? And you keep pressing God, say, fine, do it. And then he's going to kill you for trying to do it. Because he already told you don't do it. The angel of the Lord was right there in his way, ready to kill him. And with a drawn sword. And the prophet, the seer, who was always seeing things, this time around, he was blinded by greed. Couldn't see. You know, the mad prophet, the scripture calls him. blinded by greed. And the donkey was the one that saw the angel. The prophet didn't see anything. And the donkey had to move across, move away a couple of times. And while he was moving, smashed his leg against the wall. So the prophet smacked him. You know, maybe he rebuked him also. You foolish donkey, go this way. You know, and God opened the mouth of the donkey. Not only had God opened the eyes of the donkey, God opened the mouth. Can you believe a donkey that would speak to a prophet? I mean, there's some strange stories in the Bible. And the donkey said, what are you smiting me for? Have I not been your donkey and your ass for all these years? Did I not carry you everywhere you wanted to go? Have I not been faithful? What are you smacking me about? Well, I'm not smacking you for your faithfulness. I'm smacking you now because you will not go where I want you to go. Well, isn't there a just cause for me not doing it? And as he was saying it, the Lord opened the eyes of the prophet. And he saw the angel. I was standing there. I said, my goodness. And the angel said, well, if it had not been for this, your donkey, you will be a dead man right now. Wow. He sold out, you know, for money and for price. For the greed of his heart, you know, he sold out. What God told him not to do, he was willing to. There's a lot of people, you know, that sell out for money, for greed, for position, for power. What is your price? You know, this man is sold out. Wow. And it almost cost him his life. You know, so let's be very, very careful. You know, what happens? The wages of unrighteousness is the way Peter described it. This story that I just narrated in Numbers chapter 22 and 23. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 15 and 16 talk about the same thing. Let's see the narrative that Peter, now by the Holy Spirit, writing about those same things. Let's see the way he wrote it. And warning us about greed that can blind the eyes. You know, he said, look, there are some people with covetous practices, you know, and different things. Powerful stuff that he wrote here. He said, call them brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things they don't understand. But they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. He said, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. You know, as they that count it pleasure into riot and spots they are, blemishes, sparking themselves, and deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling innocence and unstable souls. They have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which are forsaking the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. I mean, so Peter is calling this prophet a madman. Because he was blinded by greed. He sold out completely. You know. Now, there was another man that also sold out in a different kind of way. You know, he sold out. He was also called, you know, someone that would sell out like that. And, in the days later, he tried to go back, but he couldn't do it. His name was Esau. In Esau, in Genesis chapter 25, from verses 29 to 34, we read how, you know, Esau sold his birthright. Sold his birthright. For what? For a morsel, you know, of venison. I mean, just some food, you know. That's how he sold his birthright. One day, he was really hungry. you know, and met his brother. Brother had some food and he didn't. And he said, well, give me some of your food. His brother said, no, you know, give me your birthright. And, you know, later on in life, this Esau would blame his brother for stealing something from him. Esau didn't, I mean, Jacob didn't steal anything. You sold it. It was your decision. They put a gun over your head. You know, all he said, well, no, I'll trade you some of these, my venison, for your birthright. That's all. You know, and he, what was the price that this man was going to put on? Birthright? You're going to sell your birthright for just some food? Well, listen, there's a lot of people that would sell their souls for food at the end. We're told about the rising of the Antichrist system, when people will not be able to buy or sell or eat or drink or do anything. Many will sell their soul for food at that time. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you know, we read, you know, in verse 17, we're talking about, you know, this man called Esau. You know, the things he did, how he sold his birthright position. I'll tell you in a bit about this birthright thing. You know, he said, look, you know, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord and all that. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and there are many, be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. So Esau was called a profane person, who for one morsel of meal sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, well, he was rejected because he already sold his birthright. And that thing was going to be held against him. For he found no place of repentance, even though he sought it diligently with tears. He couldn't do it. It was too late. Sold his birthright. You know, I remember one word as a young man the Lord told me point blank, you know, in the 70s. One day I was in a place, I heard that a certain group of people had believed the so-called end time message. And they were going to have a 3-day meeting. I was in Lagos, in Nigeria, those of you that know that part of the world. And somebody invited me to this meeting. And my first question was, can any good thing come out of Lagos? You know, and I said, well, I had received and was following the so-called end time message at that time. And I heard this thing. And I said, okay, well, I'll check it out. So when it was time to go for that meeting in the morning, I got up to pray. And as I was praying, Holy Ghost said these words. And I never forgot those words. And those words kept me throughout many of the crazy stuff that the people were doing those days. He said, because these people have heard that I am doing a strange work. I'm quoting it now. Verbatim. Because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange work, therefore they begin to devise to themselves strange things. He said, be careful now. And don't be a part of it, for many will lose their birthright. Those exact words. And I said, oh my goodness, birthright? What does that mean? Well, that word guided me. I went into the meeting that day. Actually, it was a 3-day meeting. And I did see a lot of strange stuff. And then I kept remembering the word of the Lord that said, because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange work, therefore they begin to devise to themselves strange things. And he says, stay away from it, because many will lose their birthright. And that was the first time I heard words so strong. And over the years, many lost their birthright. You know, people went into all kinds of, they sold the truth, you know, for, you know, something that was glittering. And some of them were jumping, shouting and doing stuff. They said, oh, the Lord is moving. The Lord's doing a new thing in our midst and so on. And they were ready to just jump at signs and wonders, speaking in tongues, interpretation, and this, there was no word. Nobody cared for the word of God. They could do anything. They were told to do something, they did it. I mean, it was just all over the place. And the Lord kept reminding me, many will lose their birthright. Be careful now. And unfortunately, many actually did lose their birthright. Some repented. And the Lord is gracious. But, you know, that's all I can say about that story. I can't get too deep into it. But what is the birthright? The birthright goes to the firstborn, usually a son, you know, and they have the birthright. And the birthright will come to them. That means they get the first blessing, you know, they get the right of first refusal. Esau would have had the birthright, but he sold it. And God already knew he was going to do that, because when Rebecca was pregnant with twins, according to Romans chapter 9, we're told that the word of the Lord said that the elder will serve the younger. So God already foresaw it. But Esau had himself to blame, or blaming his brother. You can't blame somebody else for your choices that you make. You made the choice to sell your birthright. Can't blame anybody for it. So, it was his fault. He sold his birthright, but he sold out. You know. So, let's bring this lesson home. What are we talking about in a lesson with a strange title like this? Buy the truth, sell it not. And at what price? Or what is the price you will pay to sell out? Well, what was Balaam's price? Well, more goods, more promises, more promotion, and so forth. Well, what is your price? Everybody has a price. What is your price? You know, what is the value? What are you willing to pay? Will you sell out the truth because of some great price or some great promise? You know, there are some people, because they want more popularity, they want more quote-unquote power, they would do anything. Some people have even been sold. I've been told that some people have sold their soul to the devil in order to get apparently more power, to attract more crowds in their preaching. They sell their soul to the devil. I mean, wow. You know, people do all kinds of strange stuff. Sell out. But we can sell out in many ways, not even those kind of horrible ways. There's a lot of little sellouts we can do all day long. When the maid came to Peter and said, "You look like one of them. I remember I've seen you with him." And Peter began to swear up and down, "No, wasn't me. I don't know the man. I never been with him." That's a sellout. That was a sellout. Thank God that he was not a son of perdition like Judas. Judas was a sellout. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. But he was a son of perdition. There was no place of repentance for him. Well, how many times have we sold out on the Lord like Peter? When we have opportunity to speak out for the Lord and we keep quiet, but we don't want to lose face. Lose face among your friends or the community or whatever, and we don't speak out for the Lord, well, that's a sellout. You know, so that's selling the truth. If you know the truth, which is Christ, and when opportunity comes for you to speak the truth, you speak the truth, and you are not willing to do it because you hide it for whatever reason, Jesus said, well, if you are afraid for your life, or you do not want to lose popularity, unless you are willing to deny yourself. So all the times when we are trying to protect ourselves, protect our faith, space in the community, protect our fame, protect, you know, the people who like us, or so forth. I mean, all these things, it's a sellout. You'll be careful, you know. But those that will deny all of that, give everything up for Christ. Jesus said, "They shall sit with me in my throne." Hallelujah. In fact, before they get to my throne, you know, every time they testify of me. They stand up for the truth and they won't give it up for anything. I also will testify of them in heaven. The angels who know their name. I will testify before my Father and the angels of them. And they will be stars in heaven. They'll be heroes. People in heaven will know them. Well, but if they deny my name, well, I also will deny them. You know, so in summary, let us consider the value that we place on things. You know, I told you yesterday how people value things. You know, here we have a saying that you get what you pay for. And so people think that when something costs more, it's got to be of more value. Well, if you think of it that way, yeah, then it means, you know, what are you able to, willing to pay for the thing if you think it has more value? I told the story of the cosmetic company that came out with a product line at first and marked the price down, put it in lower grade stores, and nobody was buying it. Nobody. Because the women thought it was cheap, so they didn't want it. So when they brought in a marketing consultant, the man was a genius. He rebuked them for doing that. He said, why do you put all your goods in this place? He said, well, we're trying to make it affordable. He said, no, can't do that. That's not going to work. Came up with a simple strategy. Recall all the product. Pull them all. Bring them in. They pulled everything in. Gave them one simple thing. Don't change anything. They didn't change any formula. Put it out back there to the higher stores at the higher price level. And everybody started to buy this thing like crazy. Because now the thing costs more. They think it's got to be better. So there were some people that wouldn't pay $10 for the thing because they thought it's cheap stuff. I don't want that cheap stuff. When the price was raised to $100, say, they started to buy it. Because now they think it's of more value, but it was the same exact thing. It was just a strategy that somebody was playing on their minds. You know, this is how, you know, people, what price are you willing to pay for something? What value do you put on the thing? If you value the word of God and you're able to pay anything for it and you're willing to get it at any cost, well, God will reward you. And when you get it, the scripture says, don't sell it at any price. You've got it now. Hold on to it. Don't sell it. Don't give it up. Don't put it before dogs and swine. You know, treasure it. Be guardians of the word and treasure it and be ready to defend it. You know? Scripture even says, well, be ready. You know, to give a reason for the hope, you know, that is in you. What is it? What is your reason for holding on to this thing? Why don't you give it up? Job's wife told him, well, give up this already. Curse the Lord and die. What is this? He wouldn't do it. What is it that's going to make us to give up our position in the Lord? What is it? Shall tribulation? This is how Paul closed it out. Let me read it to you to close this lesson out. What is it that's going to make us sell out? You know, here are all the things that Paul said. Well, none of these things can make me sell out. You know, he said, I am persuaded. You know, that's what he said. You know, that neither life nor death, you know, nor things present. I mean, life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. Persuaded. And none of these things gonna make me sell out. You know, but in all these things, say you are more than conquerors. He was persuaded. Well, are you persuaded? Are you fully persuaded? Scripture says, let every man be fully persuaded in their own minds. Are you fully persuaded or are you lightly persuaded? Can you be easily swayed one way or another? You know, there are some religious fanatics. They are even in crazy religions that are persuaded that their religion is the right thing. They're ready to go and kill people for that. Well, is that the right thing? Well, what are we willing to do for the Lord? We don't kill anybody. But are you willing to go all the way to save a soul? Are you willing to go all the way to testify for Christ? Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about buying the truth. You know, first of all, you must know what you are buying. You must know the value on it. You know, and what are you really buying? Well, know the truth. You know where to get it. And when you find it, hold on to it. The word of the Lord is precious in these days. There was a day, there was a time where the word of the Lord was precious and there was no open vision. Well, the word of the Lord is precious again in these days. So if you find the real deal, better hold on to it. Praise the Lord. You know, and the real deal is the word of God that's pure. Every word of God is pure. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't add to it, lest he rebuke you. And there was a warning in the book of Revelation. If any man shall add to these things, the Lord shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from these things, the Lord shall take away his part from the book of life. It's a very, very serious warning. So don't take away from his words. Don't add anything to it. And you stay right there with the word of God no matter what. Now, unless you are not persuaded or not fully, you know, persuaded in the thing you believe, you know, maybe you were just following the crowd and you never really had any persuasion of your own. But if you're being fully persuaded, then stay right there and don't sell the truth. No matter what the price is offered, no matter what you have to lose. Paul even said, I gave up everything. All the things that I counted to be gain for me, I gave them up. That I might win Christ. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 16 and 15 that these things that are highly esteemed, like fame and money and position in life and all these titles and so forth. So said these things are an abomination before God. Well, you know, why are we even holding on to abomination over the truth? You know, something that doesn't even please God, something that is disgusting to God. And those are the things that we're pursuing instead of the truth. Well, let's think again. I am going to pray. That's our lesson today. It's a challenge for us also. Take the challenge. Glory to God. Find the truth, you know, and buy it. Hold on to it at any cost. You know what you have to give up. You know, one sister gave a testimony here a few weeks ago. She said, look, if you are waiting for a convenient time to hear the word of God, you'll never find it. She said, look, I have to give up something. Come on in here in this room and so on. Well, you know, you know what you need to give up. We're not just talking about coming to this room. It's not about that. It's whatever your life, your walk with God. What is it? What have you found? What are you willing to give up to hold on to it? Hold on to it now and don't give it up at any price. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that we have shared today. I will pray that our word will bring us instruction, will bring us understanding, will give us wisdom. And I will keep the words of God in our hearts. Hold on to it. Contend for the faith and the word of God that which we have received and not give it up at any price. And I thank you, Lord, that you will lead us to the fountain of life. Scripture says in Jeremiah 2 and 13, my people have committed two evils, that they have forsaken me, the fountain of life. Hurl out to themselves cisterns that can bring out no water at all, hold no water. And may we not turn away from the truth. May we hold on to the word of God till the end. And he that overcometh, Jesus said, shall inherit all things. And again, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I sat with my Father in his throne. To God be all the glory. The name of the Lord be blessed. The name of our God is one. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.